Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is a book that would not rank high on the bestseller list among those who go about with the idea that one should always think positively. Now, we do believe that it is a needful thing for a man to think positively in the expectation of what it is that we believe God shall do. That's a pretty positive thing. But when you look around this world and you see all of the heartache, suffering, and all of the unexplained things and the way of the shortness of life, Solomon said all is vanity. And he was speaking as a man looking at the world. And how else can a man look at the world really, if he's honest, and come up with any other conclusion? Because he speaks here in this particular chapter in the earlier verses about the fact that a man labors his whole life to gain something and build something, and then he dies and leaves it to somebody else, and they don't have any, he has no say over it, and they can do whatever they want to with it. Now that's empty. If that's all that a man had to look forward to, he'd be in a pretty dismal condition, would he not?
Yeah.
And so there's not a lot of positivity about that. There's not a lot that would cheer the heart of a man to tell him, well, you know, you're going to get old and die. That's not a positive thing, is it? I mean, is there a positive spin on that outside of the fact that God, who's rich in mercy, has promised eternal life to all who are found in Jesus Christ? Now, that's a positive statement there. That's a glorious thing. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with men or the ability of men or really the downward course of men. But Solomon says in this book that the all go to one place. All are of the dust. All turn to dust again. Beast or man, doesn't make any difference. Rich, poor, high, low. Doesn't matter. Afflicted or non-afflicted, doesn't make any difference. They all wind up in one place. That's a dead-end street. Apart from that, a man might have been given a hope in Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of this continual consideration of the dismal nature, actually, of man's existence here in the earth insofar as his abilities are concerned and his longevity, he says this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That's Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. When the Lord appeared unto Moses, and he told Moses who he was, he said, Moses said, well, who do I tell them has sent me? He said, I am. He said, you go tell them. He said, I am that I am. He said, you go tell them I am sent you. Now, the Lord, you know, the Jews actually never pronounced the name of God. They called of him the one who could not be, whose name could not be spoken. There really is no name in the Hebrew for God. in His person, because He is eternal. He is above and beyond all things. That's why the Scripture says He inhabiteth eternity. Now, eternity is not a concept that men can grasp. If a man tells you he understands eternity, he doesn't understand eternity. Because if he understood eternity, he'd know he couldn't, or if he had any understanding of eternity, he'd know he couldn't understand eternity. I can't wrap my head around it. Everything that we think of has to have a beginning. I mean, we think in terms of beginning and endings and in between. But with God, there is no beginning. There is no ending. There is no in-between. Now, in the mercy of God, He chose to reveal Himself unto men, and He begins the Scriptures with this phrase, in the beginning. Now, it doesn't say there was a beginning with God, but it says in the beginning. Well, who was the beginning for? It was for us. It wasn't for God. He didn't need the beginning. He is the beginning. Because the beginning stems from Him. Because He is without any measure. He encompasses all things. And so when Solomon says here, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, he is simply setting forth the very nature of who God is. All that God does is eternal. He said nothing can be put to it. That is, nothing can be added to it. Nor can anything be taken from it. We read in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's just a way for men to say, to understand these things. If we say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, but He was before yesterday. Because time is not, that's why when the Scripture says a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. Now, there are a lot of people who try to take that phrase and say that, well, that means literally a day is 1,000 years. And then they go to the Scripture and try to prove the 1,000 years, this is so many days and all that kind of thing. Well, that's not at all what the Scripture means when it says the Lord, the days with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. It simply means there's no such thing as time. Amen. In the realm where God dwells. God cannot be approached. He's inapproachable. Scripture says He dwells in the light to which no man can approach. We cannot approach unto God. If God didn't see fit to show us who He was, who He is, we'd have never had any way of knowing. Now, a dog that's running around out here in the yard and chasing a rabbit or trying to catch a squirrel or chasing his tail or whatever he's doing, he has no revelation of God at all. He doesn't fall down and worship God. Now, the Scripture says that the trees of the field shall clap their hands at the Lord. And so we do know that there is a sense in which all creation shall praise the Lord. But I'm speaking about in an active way with the knowledge and understanding of who God is. The dog doesn't know anything. He's just a dog. But God, who's rich in mercy, has been pleased to give to His people something of an understanding of who He is. And He has revealed Himself unto us. Otherwise, we'd be just like the dog. And the only thing we'd be interested in would be, where's our next bowl of food going to be? And when's it going to be? That'd be the only thing we do. Now, the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people go through life just like the dog. That's all they're doing, is just wanting to know when the next satisfaction of this fleshly body is going to take place. And that's the thing they pursue. Whether it be with power or whether it be with money or however it is, they're seeking to satisfy that. But the children of God, by the grace of God, have been given an understanding that is beyond that. Even though we see through a glass darkly and we can't comprehend at all the very essence of God, it's impossible that you and I should know God in the very essence of His being. He has shown us Himself in Jesus Christ, who is God of very God. And He has shown us what He would have us to know. But you see, when men think that they know everything, and I've heard people say, well, we'll know all things one day. No, you'll never know all things. It's impossible for you to know all things. Why? Because you're a created being. You'll never be able to know all things because God alone is that one who knows all things. And so the Scripture says here that He hath whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now that is a glorious thought, and it is actually the very basis upon which the faith of God's people rests. Because if that is not a true statement, then how on earth could it be that a man could have hope in him? Because if you have hope in something that might change tomorrow, it's not a very good hope. See, when you put your confidence in me to do something, that's shaky ground. Now, it may not be as shaky a ground as it would be with somebody else, or it may be more shaky ground than somebody else. But it's shaky ground regardless of what, because no man can control the circumstances and the things that happen in life. And so nothing that we do is forever. It's all temporal. It's all going to pass away, and it might pass away before tomorrow. It might all change in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, how many is the man that's had a great fortune and lost it all in just a short period of time? It happens because men are not forever. Men are simply temporal. But you see, the hope of God's people is built on the eternality of God and the fact that He changes not. And this one who changes not, who does all things forever, has seen fit to declare unto us, the creatures of a span, those who just occupy like a little speck in the eons of time, He has seen fit to declare unto us, not just simply saying this will be so, but with an oath. And the pledge and the declaration of the redemption of His people through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has sent His Son into the world to declare Him. You see, no man has seen God at any time. At any time. People talk about, well, God came and sat down on the edge of their bed and talked with them. I remember listening to a fellow tell a story like that one time. He talked with the Lord as if the Lord was his personal God. I mean, like he put him on the shelf and whatever he needed him, he'd go up there and rub on him and here he'd be. And that's how people think about God. He's their little God. He's their personal Savior. You hear that term. Now, He is indeed the Savior of the persons whom He loves. There's no question about that. But in order for us to have any understanding of the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, we must get some place where God is pleased to reveal to us that the standing that we have in Christ is because of the fact that He changes not. He said to Jacob, "Thou worm Jacob, He said, it's of my mercy that you are not consumed.
Yes.
He said, I can snuff you out like that. I remember as a little kid, I used to love to stir up ant beds and then devise various ways of killing them. Now that was cruel and demonstrates the depravity of the human heart that would think about wanting to do that. Nobody ever said, why don't you go out there and kill those ants? I just thought it would be a neat thing to do. And I had all kinds of different methods of burning them and doing various things. And I thought that was something. And I mean, I killed them by the thousands. And, of course, I got bit a lot of times, too, so they got revenge on me. But the thing about it is, those ants are of more value to my existence than all the people in the world are to God's. I mean, think about that. Those ants are actually more beneficial to me than all the people in the world would be to Almighty God. Because you see, He's eternal. And they're just the creation of His hand. Now, it pleased God in the depths of His mercy to reveal unto men that He is the Savior of sinners. A far greater display of mercy than ever could be with a man sparing the life of an ant. It's nothing. You see, it's nothing for God to show mercy any more than it is for God to create the world. But it pleased Him to do so. And it's a glorious thing when we pause to consider who He is and who we are. That's what David said. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost visit him? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's been His counselor? He said, if I was hungry, would I tell thee? If I needed something, would I come to you for help? And yet, how often it is that men are cajoled and pled with, oh, won't you do something for God? I mean, the whole kingdom of God is dependent on you. The salvation of men is dependent on you. Dear brethren, think what a precarious situation it would be if the salvation of any man on planet Earth depended on me or something I could do. But you see, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And all that God does is eternal. And before the foundation of the world, He chose a people in Christ to redeem. What a glorious thing. It's beyond comprehension. Now, interesting thing, in the New Testament, there are, of course, this is true throughout the Scripture, but it's specifically true in the Greek, that you often read the term forever, and then you read the term forever and ever. And, of course, if somebody wants to emphasize forever, I mean, forever is forever, is it not? But if you say forever and ever, and of course, sometimes you hear people say, forever, never, 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 never. You know, I mean, that's just adding to it. But it's interesting as you look at the word forever and ever. Now, in the English, it's two words, forever and ever. Well, it's actually four words, but it's in the Greek, the forever and ever is one word, and forever and ever is two words. And the word forever, when it is forever and ever, is just E-I-S, ice, and it means two. Now, whenever it's forever, it adds an age on it. At eon, the word A-I-O-N, which is the word we get eon, which means a long period of time. And it's the word forever and ever is just to. But the word, like going to. But the word forever is to an age. Now, when you look at the word forever and ever in the New Testament, it is applied to God. And one time, and it appears 13 times in the book of the Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And each time, except for one, it refers to God directly. And when the word forever is used, it is referring to those things that God would do for men. But in the last usage of the word forever and ever, it has to do with the place that He would bring His people, which is the same place He is, which is forever and ever. So all the promises of God are yea and amen. And the promises are forever. They are to an age. They're to the place where that's as far as we can think. I mean, if you think of as far as you can think, how far is it? It has an end, doesn't it? I mean, it's just, you think, well, man, that's a long time. Well, it's not time at all if it's forever and ever. And that's the place to which He's brought us. But you see, we are finite creatures. And the Lord describes His dwelling with us in terms that we can understand. Paul said it would be through the ages to come. Now, there are ages to come. Some have said there will be, when the angel in the book of Revelation said, and there shall be time no longer, they look at that as though what that's saying is that God's going to do away with time. Well, it would be impossible for time to be done away with, or we would disappear. Because God alone dwells outside of time. We're in time. Because we have a beginning. Only by the grace of God will we not have an end. See, men are not infinite creatures. Now, some people think that there's part of man that is eternal. There's nothing about a man that's eternal. Not one thing in the world about a man that is eternal.
That's what it means to be a creature.
That's exactly correct. There's not one thing about a man that's eternal. But everything about God is eternal. He is eternal. He has given us life, and we live because of Him. And we shall live through the ages to come because of Him. You see, when Adam and Eve was put in the Garden of Eden, they were given access to the tree of life. Now, they didn't have eternal life. They weren't born with eternal life. But they were born with access to eternal life. The Lord said, of all the trees of the garden, you may eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat. And of course, we know what happened. And then when the angels came and barred their presence from the garden, they were cast out. The Lord said, I'm barring them from that garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. Men have been banished from eternal life. They have no access to it. You see, there's no way that a man can gain or attain eternal life. The only way that a man can gain or attain eternal life is that it has to be given to him. And it is given to him in Jesus Christ. And we have life. You see, we believe that the life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not seen life. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we live because He lives. The Father, the Scripture says, the Father gave to the Son eternal life. And this life is in Him. He has given us eternal life. You know where our life is? It's in Christ. And we live because He lives. And the reason we live for the ages to come is because He has given it to us. He's given us access, you see, to the tree of life. It's not a fruit we go and eat. It's a fruit that has been implanted in us.
He's the truth.
Given. That is correct. He is the tree of life. And so it is of the tree of life that our life comes and we live. And the Scripture says in the end of the book of the Revelation that we shall dwell with Him forever and ever. Only time that the Scripture says that. All the promises of God are yea and amen. They are forever. Why? Because God does not do things halfway. Now, one thing that we, because of that, sometimes we have a tendency to think in ways that aren't actually biblical. And we'll say something like, God's trying to tell somebody something. Now, God never tries to do anything. God doesn't try to do anything. God's not trying to do something. God's not attempting to do things. He does things. That's what Solomon said. God, he said, where is it? Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. So, God doesn't try to do things. He does things because that is the basis upon which all of our hope and expectation must forever stand. If the salvation that we trust in is not ordained from before the foundation of the world, dear brethren, we wouldn't have one. I mean, if God had put us on probation and said, I'm going to see if you will follow me, how many of y'all would have followed Him? Now, a lot of people think they would. Oh, just give me the chance. Lord, if you'll just give me the chance, I'll follow you. It's like the empty promises that we make. Lord, if you'll get me out of this jam, I won't ever do that again. What does that mean when we say that? Doesn't mean anything. You know it doesn't mean anything. People mean it, when they say it, they know it doesn't mean anything. Because you see, everything we do is temporal. Our faith's temporal. It'll pass away in a moment unless it's that which God does, which is forever. You see, when God gives a man faith, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. Now, the Scripture speaks a lot about temporary faith. There's nothing more common among men than temporary faith. Men can outwardly follow Christ for a season. Many people followed Christ. Many people were baptized by John, and they gladly heard the word of the Lord, and they followed Him with gladness. But the time came when they said, this is not worth it. You know, we thought He was the Messiah that was going to bring deliverance, but we'd give up. And the Lord turned to His disciples and He said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter said the very thing that is the very epitome of faith, the gift of faith given to those who believe. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And such is God-given faith. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you'll falter and fail. You won't last 10 minutes. Neither will I. But you see, if our faith is found in Jesus Christ, it will stand forever. Because the faith of Christ is that which is eternal. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear brethren, our faith is a gift of God. If we believe, it's because it was given to us. Just like the Lord, when the Gentiles believed, the Scripture says, and the Gentiles heard this gladly, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, the indication is that many Gentiles heard the word gladly. But it doesn't say, and all that heard the word gladly believed it. See, a lot of people hear the gospel gladly. They get all excited about maybe they're down in the dumps or something and some high-powered preacher comes to town and he tells a few stories and stuff and he gets inside their head and they get excited and they say, oh, I'm going to follow the Lord. And they hear the word gladly. But 6 months later, you see them on the street and you say, well, that's, it wasn't that big of a deal. I was just kind of excited at the time. And it's all right. I believe the things of God. I mean, you know, I think it's probably true, but it's just not for me right now. They heard the word gladly. But dear brethren, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed it. Because there is a big difference in hearing the word gladly and believing it. And the difference is that one of them begins in time and the other begins with God. And all those things that God has done are forever. All of those things. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. Because it is of the nature of God that His decrees shall come to pass. Oh, to be found. Oh, to be found in Christ. You see, that's the hunger and desire of the children of God. To be found in Christ. Everyone that believes wants to be found in Christ. When did that start? It started with God. When did He start? He's forever. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. You see, there are a people in the earth, always have been, and always shall be a people in the earth that fear God. Because the Lord has ordained in His purpose to give faith unto men and to cause them to hear His word gladly, to receive it, and to believe it. And you cannot help but fear. They tremble. Our God's a consuming fire. You see, the man who does not fear God, he's never met the Lord. He's never had any understanding of God, even in a small measure, if he does not fear and tremble. And he's never known anything about his own heart if he's never wondered, how on earth could it be that I could be included in the number of those whom God has so graciously seen fit to bestow His mercy. Now, religion and the multitude of religion in our day, it teaches men to go about boasting of their faith and their standing, and when they came to the Lord, and when they did this, that, and the other. But you see, the Word of God, it teaches men that apart from the grace and mercy of God, they will perish. And those that fear God, they'll be found at His feet. O Lord, cast me not away. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. You see, the man that's never known what it is to be in that situation has never believed Christ. Because you see, that's what Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Don't tell us to go away. Don't cast us out, O Lord, because You have the words of eternal life. We'd be destroyed if it wasn't for Thy mercy and Thy kindness. For we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For what God does, He does forever. And dear brethren, it's upon that that we stand. And it's upon that that our hope's built. All other ground is sinking sand, except that which Christ and Christ alone has performed. And He has performed it in time for the benefit of His people. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem sinners. Some have painted a picture of that as though God was in a dilemma when He sent Christ. That He had folks here and He wanted to save them, but He couldn't do it unless Christ came. That's not the picture. That's not the picture. Because you see, what God does, He does forever. Before ever a sinner fell, He loved the people in Christ. Before the foundation of the world. Before there ever was a sinner. He chose them in Christ. And He ordained that they should be the objects of His mercy in time as He demonstrated to the world, to the angels, to all of the creation, the grace that He had and the love that He had for His people, which He loved in Christ. What God does, He does forever. And He brings us, oh, brethren, not to an age, although to our understanding it'll always be an age, but He brings us to. We're going to. If I said I'm going to Live Oak, you'd know what that meant. But if I told you, well, I'm just going, you'd say, well, you can't just go. You got to have a destination. But you see, God, He just goes. And He brings us. He says, come with me. Oh, that the Lord might teach us what it is to believe Christ. They might show us that the faith which He works in His people is an eternal work. It's a work that will not fade away in time because it is that which is built on His promise. And He said, if I promise something, it's going to come to pass. May the Lord help us.